Our text this morning is found in Job, the 23rd chapter. Job 23, in verse 12. Job 23 and 12. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. The title of this lesson is, This Book Will Keep You From Sin. Let us pray. We thank thee, our Heavenly Father, for another Lord's Day that you've granted us to come before thy throne of grace, to come into this thine house. We ask that you'd open our eyes and ears and hearts, help us to perceive the truths. We ask that you keep your protective hands upon our pastor and his family while they're away. Guide us as a church in a way of truth and help us to walk worthy of the name Christian, to be like more like our master. We pray that you be pleased to grant repentance to loved ones, those of us in need of it. Grant us the seeing eye, the hearing ear. We pray for our country that you'd have mercy upon it. Grant us leaders that would fear none of thee. Keep us from sin. Keep us faithful to thee. Keep us looking for the return of our Redeemer. We thank thee for the promise of eternal life through him. We ask now that you grant us the seeing eye, the hearing ear. Grant me the words to speak and the ability to speak. Help us to exalt the name of Christ above every name, for it's in Christ's name through the power of the Holy Spirit we ask, and amen. Job considered the Word of God, and Christ is the Word. The Word in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And we can understand from the book of Job, actually, I think it's like the second chapter. The first chapter, the 22nd verse, in all this Job sinned not. Indeed, he considered God's word more esteemed than his necessary food. He knew that God's word would keep him from sin, and it did. We read about, turn over to the book of 2 Chronicles, a man named Uzziah. Now, in those days, not everybody had a Bible like what we would today. You went to the Lord's house if you wanted to hear the Word of God. Second Chronicles, chapter 26. As I said, we read about this man named Uzziah. Verse 1, then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the room of his father Amaziah. And he built Eloth and restored it to Judah after that the king slept with his fathers. 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jecholiah of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father Amaziah did. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding of the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. That is, as long as he sought the Lord. Verse 16, same chapter. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. Now God had ordered who would sacrifice, who would burn incense long before this time. There is a certain order that God had set about his house. The Lord's house is to be in perfect order. Even though we are imperfect sinners, we are all sinners, God's word has no agreement with sin. And while we do err in many ways, God still demands perfection. We may not deliver, but he demands it. Why do we not face God's wrath? I mean, the soul that sinneth, it shall die, because we're under grace, not under the law. David kept God's word in his heart. It'll keep you from sin. And if you will study David when he was strong, when he's done right, he was in the word of God. When he done wrong, he had neglected it. Psalms 119, verse 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart, mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared thy judgments of thy mouth. That's God's word. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. Considered it more worth and more valuable than food or gold. I will meditate in thy precepts, and I have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Of course, he goes out looking off the top of his palace, we call it, spied Bathsheba taking a bath. We know what happened. When we are in God's word, it keeps us from sin. Now, in the last couple of months, I haven't taught Bible study. It's the longest time I've been away from teaching, in a lot more than 15 years. And when you get stay away from it for a while, you start feeling like the heathen, as one of my daughters said. I don't study as much, so I don't consider as much. When you're out there in the world does not let up on its relentless tirade against Christianity. The foul mouth, potty mouth people are still just as bad as ever. They vex our soul. As the saying goes, you walk through the chicken house, you're going to smell like it. Do we esteem God's word like Job and like David did? Does God's word keep us from sin? If we are in it, it will. We're to be meek, like our Lord. There in the book of Matthew, the 11th chapter, as he said, I'm meek and lowly. It's Matthew chapter 11, 29. God loves the meek, but he hates the proud, far off. In the wrong chapter. Chapter 11, verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. You got rest in your souls? If you don't have, it's probably where you need to go to. Go back to Bethel. That's what Jacob was told to do there in Genesis. Now, Bethel is the house of the Lord. Genesis chapter 35, verse 1. Brother Joe's been going through Genesis. And God said unto Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there. That's the house of the Lord. That's where the word of the Lord's going to come forth from in that day and age. Over in 2 Chronicles again, we read of one named Asa. 2 Chronicles 16. Kind of like Uzziah. Second Chronicles 16, verse 7. I'm in First Chronicles. Second Chronicles 16, verse 7. And at that time, Hananiah the seer, who was the prophet, came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, Because thou hast relied on the king of Syria, and not relied upon the Lord thy God, therefore the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. Now that's saying neglecting the word of God, because God would tell the kings by word. He would send them the prophets what to do and what not to do. This man believed the ungodly and neglected the godly. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubims a huge host, and with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them out into thine hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Didn't say the Jews, said whoever's heart is toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly, and from henceforth thou shalt have wars. And Asa was wroth with the seer, and put him in a prison house. So that's just like today. See, the man don't change. Preach the gospel rather than repent and be mad at yourself. They're mad at the messenger. Put him in the prison house. And he was in a rage with him because of this thing. And Asa oppressed some of the people at the same time. That's man in his nature. Back to Uzziah. That's a started a while ago in 2 Chronicles chapter 16. Uzziah, when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And as I said, God had already ordered years before that who would offer incense and other offerings. And went in after him 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men. They had orders. Those orders were given back in the days of Moses. They withstood Uzziah the king and said unto them, It appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated, that are prepared to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed, neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God. And Uzziah was wroth, and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. He's going to do the same thing, persecute the one who's telling him the truth. And while he was wroth with the priest, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord from beside the altar, the incense altar. And Azariah, the chief priest, and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead, and they thrust him out from thence. Yea, himself hasted also to go out, because the Lord had smitten him. And Uzziah, the king, was a leper unto the day of his death, and dwelt in a several house, being a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. And Jotham, his son, was in the king's house judging the people of the land. He was cut off from the house of the Lord. He couldn't go no more. Done. He had broken the law. Now he would not be permitted back into the Lord's house. It didn't end there. His son, Jotham, was 20 and 5 years old, verse 1 of chapter 27, when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was also Jerusha, the daughter of Zadok. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all his father Uzziah did. Howbeit, he entered not into the temple of the Lord, and the people did corruptly. His father wasn't permitted to go to the house of the Lord. Now he don't go to the house of the Lord. Well, if neither go to the house of the Lord, they're probably not too much into God's word. Jotham became mighty, verse 6, because he prepared his ways for the Lord his God, but he didn't go to the house of the Lord. He neglected God's word. He has a son, Ahaz, chapter 28 and verse 1. This is the finished product. Ahaz was 20 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. He did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord, like David his father. And he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel, and made the molten images of Balaam, and burnt incense in the valley of the sons of Hinnom, which is where they sacrificed their babies, and burned his children in the fire, after the abominations of the heathen whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. He sacrificed also and burnt incense in the high places, in the hills, and under every green tree. Wherefore the Lord his God delivered him into the hand of the king of Syria, and they smote him and carried him away a great multitude of captives, and brought them to Damascus, and he was also delivered into the hands of the king of Israel, who smote him with a great slaughter. When one neglects God's word, they fall into the sin. And they give a testimony to those watching. They fall into sin. They neglect God's word. Daddy did it, they'll do it. If we do not walk in God's word, we will end up like Solomon did, embracing pagan deities. Look at the pagan holidays. The world goes after them. We will stumble. We read about those in Scripture. They're sinners saved by grace like we are. We're told to go on to perfection in the book of Hebrews chapter 6. God demands perfection. We're never given the right to neglect God's word. We're never given the okay to sin. With all the trouble that's going on in the world, I mean, these sayings in the writings of Timothy, that were told long time ago, time will come when they shall not endure strong doctrine. The Spirit speaketh expressly in the latter days, there will be those that depart the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. These things come about when one refrains from God's word. God's word will keep us from sin. We've seen good times, and you will find that the good times is when one dwelling in God's word. We need a daily dose of God's word, because we sin daily. We all know that. There in the book of the Gospel of John, when Christ washed the feet of his disciples, John's Gospel, the 13th chapter, Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter said unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. I wash thee not. This wasn't speaking about feet. This is the daily cleansing that we must have. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. In the book of Leviticus, it talks about how that they would dip the blood of the sacrifice, the sin offering, on their thumbs, on their toes. A complete atonement. Jesus saith unto them, to him, he that is washed needeth not. Now that's washing of regeneration. He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. We are made clean through the word. That's what the one thing or we learn from this passage of scripture. We need a daily cleansing. We need a time with God's word daily, early, late, and often, as the saying goes. We need to put on Christ. We're told that in scripture. Put on Christ. Christ is the word. Once again, God's word will keep us from sin. In the John's Gospel, the 11th chapter, the 25th and the 26th verse, Jesus saith unto her, he's talking to Martha after Lazarus had died, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Dead, living, this is the blessed hope that we have. The problem we have in the world is we get into the flesh when we see things going ill. We lose our resolve. Our resolve is to be like Christ. We begin to hate when we get away from God's word. We begin to listen to the world. We begin to be like the world. When we put on Christ, we must keep our minds on Christ. Like when Peter walked on water, when he looked upon Christ, he stayed afloat. But when he began to look upon the waves, we know what happened. Judgment is coming that we all know quite well. National and judgment, we're all going to face the Lord. As we made a mission in the morning Bible study, we are commanded to repent. Now, repentance is commanded in Scripture, and it's a lifelong process. In the days of Eli, he had two sons. And they were wicked. They wouldn't repent. They were killed. Now, getting back to Bethel, Genesis 35. Jacob was told to dwell there. We are to dwell in the house of the Lord. Now, what is it that said there in the 23rd Psalm? It's not a very long psalm. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's a great promise. We need to stay in God's house, in God's word, while we're on this earth, before that time, though. Now, there's a thing called making a monster. When one is puffed up, we know it's kind of like the writing on the wall idiom we made mention about. For example, a little cute little tiger cub or mountain lion. They might be cute and fuzzy and all that, but they grow to become the fiercest of beasts. They become a monster. A lion kills all rivals. Communism will tolerate no religion. Cain, back in Genesis 4, would tolerate no one ruling over him. To become a monster. Perhaps the greatest example of one becoming a monster is Israel's first king, Saul. Now, there's some interesting things about Saul. He started out good in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 17. To make a long story short, he became a monster. As long as he was in God's word, however, he was fine. 1 Samuel, I'll get it here in a minute. 1 Samuel 15, verse 17. And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil? And didst evil in the sight of the Lord. And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone in the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, and the sheep and the oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice to the Lord thy God in Gilgal. He was told to go wipe him out, and he did not do it. He was little in his own sight. Then he got puffed up. He got proud. Then he, as we know, sought David to kill David. As a matter of fact, Samuel was even fearing for his own life. He became a monster. He got away from God's word. Started out well with good intentions. There were some that despised him. Had a good start. Then he became jealous. Then Saul's thoughts were all about himself. Simply waxed worse and worse and worse until he became a monster. Some several passages. 1 Samuel chapter 22, verse 7 and 8. Said to those that were in his camp, you might say, hear ye now, ye Benjamites, which will the son of Jesse give every one of you fields and vineyards and make you captains over thousands and captains over hundreds? He's playing on their conscience a little bit. I'm going to give you this if you follow me. If you follow me, David will be your enemy also. That's basically what happened. In chapter 10, verse 27, when he was little in his own sight. 1 Samuel 10, verse 27. And the children of Belial said, how shall this man save us? And they despised him and brought him no presents, but he held his peace. He started out good. Verse 10 of chapter 10, notice this. And then when they came thither to the hill, behold, a company of prophets met him, met Saul, and the Spirit of God came upon him, and he prophesied among them. And it came to pass that when all that knew him before time saw that, behold, he prophesied among the prophets. Then the people said one to another, what is this that is coming upon the son of Kish? Is Saul among the prophets? And one of the same place answered and said, but who is their father? Therefore it became a proverb, is Saul also among the prophets? And when he was in the spirit, so to speak, he was not out doing evil. Think about that. When he was feeling sorry for himself and avoiding God's word, he was evil, out to kill David. Then when he got in God's word, he was right once again. He simply waxed worse and worse. And as we know, he ended up at the witch at Endor. Like I say, he's an interesting topic. A lot of things we don't understand about this man. He became a monster, but when he would prophesy, he was peaceful once again. There was another Saul, which is why I wanted to cover that first king of Israel. And he started out, we read about him sending people to their death because they believed in the name of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. That's hard to believe. Well, it's Acts 26. Verse 9, I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus Christ, which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. Now that would have made the first king of Israel proud when he was feeling sorry for himself and persecuting David. And I punished them oft in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme, and being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even to strange cities. Whereupon I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests. At midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Is it hard for thee to kick against the pricks? And I said, Who art thou? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for a purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these saints which thou hast seen and those saints which I will appear to thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Now this is Christ. He's synonymous with the Word. And of course, Paul would pen some 13 or so, some say 16, books of Scripture. It's kind of an amazing thing here. Would anybody have imagined this happening to both Sauls? What happened? One started good, went bad. One started bad, went good. God's word made the difference. The lack of God's word made the difference in one. The Jewish elite continued to persecute Christ in his day. Matthew chapter 23, verse 6. They wasn't going to change. They wouldn't change today, as I mentioned earlier, if given a chance again. They loved the uppermost rooms at feast and the chief seats of the synagogues and greetings in the marketplace to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But be not ye called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all are ye are brethren. and call no man your father upon earth, for one is in is your father which is in heaven, neither be called master, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you, let him be your servant. We are to be servants. I mean, think about the patriarchs. They were considered servants. Getting back to the monsters, if we feed the one, the monster, pride, it will become a bigger monster. If we feed the monster the Word of God, it will cease to become a monster. We will keep down the monster, I guess is what we're saying. Verse 12 and 13, that same chapter. Whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that it shall humble himself shall be exalted. God's word has no place for pride. Verse 31, same chapter. Wherefore, ye be witnesses unto yourself that ye are the children of them which killed the prophets. This is Christ talking to the scribes and the Pharisees. Fill ye up the measure of your fathers. Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them shall ye scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city. I wouldn't want to be in their shoes. The people of that day and age, however, considered them to be the men of God. These were men in what we would consider today the church, even though Israel and the church is two different things. In the, I think it's First John, no, it's the Third John. Epistles, in the epistles of John, right before the book of Revelation. John chapter, there's, of course, there's only one chapter, verse 5 through 11. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witnesses of the charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers of the church. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. That's the kind of member we don't want to be. We need to be meek, as Scripture tells us. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith. Neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and permitteth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God. He that doeth evil is not. There's lots of things we can say. God's word keeps us from sin. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation. That's in 2 Peter chapter 2. And to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness, despise governments, presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels which are greater in power and might bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. It's not for us to criticize. That's the Lord's. But what we are to be is in God's Word. Staying in the writings of Peter, the first book of Peter, the third chapter, let it be the hidden man of the heart which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Now the world likes the proud and the ungodly. We're not to be that way. We're to be meek. We're to stay in God's Word. It will keep us from sin. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. We're to be meek and lowly. We're to be servants rather than to be served. We read about a man named Gideon, who was a great man. He was actually a meek man. Judges chapter 6, verse 15. We have the types and the shadows of the Old Testament. And we can learn a lot by the lives that they lived. I mean, we don't want to become like Solomon. The world would like to have his riches. But that rent the kingdom of Israel. In the book of Judges, chapter 6, verse 15. Verse 13, actually. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us, saying, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us. As we made mention earlier, he fought against them and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Now the Midianites, what they'd do, they'd allow the Jews to grow their crops, and when it come time to harvest them, they'd go harvest them themselves and take them away from the Jews. Gideon was harvesting wheat. He was hiding himself in doing so. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto them, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. He was a meek man. And of course, we know by Gideon's 300, he delivered Israel from the Midianites. We read in God's Word what God hates. He hates pride. Proverbs speaks about that, the things that God hates. He loves the meek. We don't know these things unless we have God's Word to read. Six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and the hands that shed innocent blood, and the heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. My son, keep thy father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart, and tie them upon thy neck. That's God's Word that he's talking about. It will keep us from sin. We're told to examine ourselves. You know, this is about the time of the year we start looking toward the Passover, as Christ is our Passover. In the 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 2 Corinthians chapter 13, I think is verse 5. 2 Corinthians 13 and 5, examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith, prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? How do we examine ourselves? Measure ourselves to Christ. be more like Christ. You will find that the great men of Scripture kept their humility. Some fell into sin when they began to be puffed up. We've examined Uzziah, Saul, the king, to name a few. Our Lord loves His own, and He's not going to allow His own to live like the world. In closing, the conclusion of the whole matter, according to Solomon, was fear God and keep His commandments. He learned the hard way. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 through 3. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech thee to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and in and through all, and in you all. Stay in God's Word. In God's Word, we are to go on to perfection, as Scriptures tells us in Hebrews chapter. I said we'd close. I'll go read it rather than misquote it. Hebrews chapter 6, and then we'll close. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of doctrine of baptisms and of laying on hands and resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. Let us go on to perfection. Anyway, that's all I have. Let us stand and we'll have a hymn.